Hello and welcome to the Slowvolution podcast. I'm your host, Anna Engelhardt, and this is the place for all things health and well-being for the busy mom of today. So grab a cup of tea and get ready to be inspired. Hello and welcome to today's exciting episode where we will be talking all things getting pregnant. And today I'm joined by a 28 years old mama-to-be to a baby boy due in November. She is a high school health and physical education teacher and a coach of high school volleyball and track teams. She is an Instagram fitness influencer who loves to work out, be active, and have fun. Please welcome Elise Fleming. Elise, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be talking with you, and especially about such an important topic.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here all the way from Washington, Washington State.
Yes, Washington State, USA. It's crazy. I love podcasts and everything that we can connect with people all over the world.
I agree. You know, I was never really a big social media fan, but, you know, once I started my blog and my business, I also got into Instagram. And it's amazing how you can connect with really, you know, great people and, all, as you said, all over the world. And I love it.
Yes, I know that there can always be that struggle between social media taking away from real life interactions and relationships versus also all the good it can do to connect us with people who have had similar experiences, and finding that balance is so important, and it's so different for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. But today's topic is a sensitive topic for many women out there, but I still feel like it's a topic that, you know, we need to be more open about and share our own experiences and support one another with the knowledge that we have gained in our personal journey. And you have always been very open about your health and fitness journey. And luckily, it's no different when it comes to you, the struggle, if I can call it that, with you getting pregnant. So do you mind sharing a bit more of your journey?
I would love to share. I definitely love this aspect of like social media being able to share our journeys and our experiences, because it allows us to connect with real people who their experiences might be similar to ours. And even though it's like I'm obviously not a doctor or fertility specialist or in any way, that I learned so much from other people's journeys that it really helped me when Andrew and I decided to start family, figure out what it is we wanted to do or how we wanted to go about it and what that journey would look like for us. So with my journey, I think I started out the same way as everyone. We're ready to have kids.
Right.
Cool. And then some people, they like get surprised and they're pregnant and it's a surprise and it's awesome and it's wonderful. And that's how they come into being parents. I would say that's probably the minority of people. Not most people have that experience, but I didn't know that when we decided to have a family. Especially coming from a family, I have two older sisters who both got pregnant pretty easily. So I just thought my experience would be the same as theirs. But basically, we decided we wanted to have a family, and I started looking into the health side of things because I'm a health and fitness teacher. I love all things health, and basically realized like there's a window of fertility, like 5 to 7 days, it's different for everyone, that would be the most important time to have like sexual intimacy if you want to get pregnant. And I was like, okay, I'm going to figure out when that window is, we're going to time it out, and then we're going to be pregnant.
Right.
You think that's how it's going to go? The very first month of doing that, I didn't even realize how badly I wanted kids until I wasn't pregnant the first month. And then I was crying. And I just realized, wait, it doesn't happen on the first try. And as you go through each month, I feel like you learn more and more. And the first 3 months, I would say I was still pretty optimistic. I figured the odds are in our favor, and you only have about a 20% chance of getting pregnant each month, depending on your age. And so it might not happen the first time, but probably in like the second or third time it would happen, right?
Right.
And when we got to that 3 month cycle, like the third cycle of not becoming pregnant, that was when I realized that my journey wasn't going to be what I thought it was going to be. that I needed to be open to that journey looking different or being different. And I was still picking up new skills. I'm sure we'll talk about some of these later on, but I started tracking basal body temperature every single morning. I started using ovulation prediction kits for basically like 2-week windows every single cycle. I also, at the end, I started doing acupuncture weekly. I would like stay laying down after sexual intercourse, you know, elevate my legs, whatever it took. And I picked up all these different, like, basically skill sets and learning about the different phases of your cycle and how that can affect your ability to get pregnant as well. I even went to the doctor, got blood work done for myself. We were looking also into Andrew having, like, his reproductive health checked out as well. And going, jumping through the hoops, the first hoops that everyone jumps through, and getting connected with the right doctors. So those were things that no one told me about that I would say anyone listening to this podcast who wants to have a family but hasn't started their journey yet, they just know, oh, I want to have kids in the future. I would want them to know that, like, getting pregnant on your first cycle isn't the norm. And that it may take some time, and it's actually the norm is 6 months to a year. So it's okay if you make that decision and then in those first 6 months you aren't pregnant. It doesn't mean that something is necessarily wrong, but you have to follow your heart and make those decisions for yourself when it's right for you to start seeking like more and additional help and in what ways you want to do that. And it's okay if it doesn't happen exactly how you thought it would happen in your brain. I remember my sister telling me it's all worth it. It will all be worth it. So one of my sisters, she did have to try for about 9 months before they got pregnant. And so having a person who's gone through that journey before you, who can relate to you, is so important. And
yeah, and somebody so close to you.
Yes, to have a sister who I could call every month. When I got my menstrual cycle, I cried. I cried every single month on that day. And that was the hardest day of every single month. I would call her and she would just say, there's nothing wrong with you. You are strong and capable. It is going to be okay. You are doing all the right things. Even if you do everything 100% right, you still have a 20% chance
exactly,
of getting
yeah.
pregnant. So, like, assume the best and it will be worth it. And once she always told me, once you get pregnant, this will all seem like it was so short.
Exactly. Yeah. So and how long did it actually take you to get pregnant?
So from we decided we wanted to have kids and we started having unprotected sexual intercourse. And about 6 months into doing that, I realized that it wasn't just going to happen on accident. And that was when at that point I had like become more discouraged and I didn't feel like I was making progress towards my goal. And,
right.
Which is such a funny way of wording it. I've told people that before that you are used to just working really hard for a certain outcome. And if you work hard enough and do the right things, you get that outcome.
Exactly.
And, like, and you've worked, pregnancy is not like that.
Yes, and you've worked like, so hard for your like fitness goals and nutrition goals and so on, you know, from what I've been following you on Instagram and social media. So but I think that so many women out there can relate to your story. And I know that this is very personal, but do you know at the end of the day what the issue was? Or if I can call you the issue, really.
No, the funny thing is, so what I usually say about my journey toward my journey to baby, I don't know what you would call it, but is that my journey is actually really normal. And that the thing about my journey is like nothing was wrong, you know, nothing was wrong with me, with my reproductive health. All my blood work came back normal. All of everything came back normal and good. And we actually, like, we didn't have the chance to have Andrew checked out before we found out we were pregnant. So obviously everything was good with him, too.
Right.
But it was one of those things where after those 6 months, I was like, we have to get really serious about it. And then it was another 6 months of actively tracking everything and, like, using multiple fertility methods, I would call it, of just, like, making sure I get enough healthy fats, and also making sure that I'm careful with exercise during my luteal phase, or making sure that I'm using my OPK kits, that I'm taking all my prenatals and vitamins, that I am tracking my basal body temperature and using an app to track everything, even symptom tracking, and doing all that for another 6 months before we got pregnant. And 6 months to a year is normal. I would tell people, like, I wouldn't say that I, air quotes, suffered from infertility. Often infertility is like, I'm not ovulating, and so I need like medicine to make sure that I am ovulating, or sperm count is low, and so we need to go through a different method to make sure that we can guarantee fertilization takes place before implantation, or I have a like illness or disease that prevents me from getting pregnant or makes it very difficult to get pregnant, things like endometriosis or POCUS, and those things can make it more challenging, but not necessarily impossible. And having to go through infertility treatments to address those reproductive health issues, which are also so common. There is an entire group and of individuals, even who I've talked to from my own journey, who have been on this journey for years, you know, 2 years to 9 years, and they've gone through IVF treatments or all sorts of different type of infertility treatments or medications. And so when I reflect on my journey, I think, like, I'm very fortunate in the fact where if I didn't even have any reproductive health issues or really any infertility issues, and it still took me this long, while working as hard as I was working and walking through these emotions of just like disappointment, anxiety, stress, obsessiveness, even, and trying to navigate those emotions when everything is functioning reproductively how it should, then I can't imagine how many women have to have had this experience that I never knew about. Like, if this is normal for me and everything is like, I'm not even having to go into further treatments, then I wish I would have known that the roller coaster of emotions that one will go through when trying to conceive. Because if this is normal, then other people's experiences must just be like even more heightened and even more intense.
Yeah, I agree. Just so interesting that, you know, when we first get married and so on, we're so like, oh, don't get pregnant, and you know, we gotta watch out, and this and that. And then I think it's just that the expectations are so high once you say, okay, now we're ready to have kids. It's like we assume that it's just gonna happen, you know, bam.
I mean, I teach health at the high school level, so I'm like, you have unprotected sex, you will get pregnant. That's what we're all told when we're in high school. Happen. And so then realizing, no, you can actually have unprotected sex for a whole year. And even trying to time it and not get pregnant, which is not the case for maybe a 15-year-old to 20-year-old. You know, you literally are more fertile when you're younger. Like, your odds are higher.
Yes, I agree.
That will not be true for you. But I think that's part of it, that expectation, that social, like, cultural idea that, oh, you need to do all these other things before you have kids. I think people are waiting much longer before they start their families, and then we're all over 25, over 30, starting to have our families, and then we're dealing with fertility and trying to figure out what it looks like for us now. You know, because we can only like play the hand we've been dealt and move forward with that, and especially when it's so uncertain. And I know that even secondary infertility is a total mind crap of its own. But when you haven't had any kids at all yet, and you don't even know if you can have kids, like, is it even physically possible? It's really easy to give in to fear and anxiety and just convince yourself that it's never going to happen. And even close to the end of my journey, I felt like, oh, man, I just need wine, like, like all the time right now. I'm like, I need wine because I don't know if this is ever going to happen.
I mean, I've been, as I said, I've been following you for a while, you know, your fitness and health journey for a few years now, actually. Do you think that part of the problem, or I don't want to call it a problem, that I don't know what to call it really,
part
but
of the journey.
Part of the journey, there you go, was your very strict workout and nutrition plan that you were on? Because it was healthy, but it was still very, you know.
I totally get that. There were points in my fitness journey where it was like much more restrictive. At those points in time, I would say I was most definitely not trying to have kids. So that was not something that was like on my radar. And there's definitely a wrong and a right way to do those kind of things when you're cutting weight or shredding, some people might call it. And if you do that in the wrong way, you can do long-term hormonal damage to your body, and your hormones control your reproductive system. So it is possible. Things like eating disorders can lead to infertility issues because of the endocrine system being so damaged. And I always did that in a healthy way when I was losing weight or trying to stay more lean. And I also wasn't trying to get pregnant at the time. I wouldn't recommend like doing any kind of restrictive diet. You just need a general, healthy, balanced diet.
I agree.
When you're trying to get pregnant, I don't think that. If anything, my fitness journey helped me, because all the research shows that the healthier you are and the more you take care of your body, the more likely that you will be able to get pregnant and be able to have children in the future, because you're just taking care of the body that you have. And so a healthy body is good for everyone. And if my body's healthy, then my reproductive system is going to be functioning at its best. And that means that I'm going to be more likely to be able to have kids, because I'm taking good care of my body. And so if anything, my journey definitely helped me be able to recognize like where are the areas that I'm not taking care of myself that I need to do better in. I totally question. I get that it's a really normal question. People are like, oh, if you work out too much, will it make it harder to get pregnant? I think that it has less to do with your workout, probably more to do with like your body fat percentage. When women drop below, it's about 12 to 10% of body fat. It's not recommended to be under 14 unless you're like maybe an elite athlete. But without enough body fat, you actually need some body fat for the hormones in your reproductive system, estrogen and progesterone, to function appropriately, which is why people suffer from amenorrhea as elite athletes, which means they lose their menstrual cycle completely. They stop ovulating. And so even at my most lean, I always had regular cycles. And so that's like a good indication that, oh, your body is still functioning like normally, and you haven't like crossed some minor barrier into an area where your reproductive system is saying, well, this isn't a priority anymore. And being aware of that, that if you are no longer having menstrual periods and you have really low body fat percentage, then that's definitely going to affect your ability to get pregnant. But amenorrhea also happens for individuals with severe eating disorders. And so it could be caused by a ridiculously active lifestyle with really restrictive nutrition, I would say. Or it could be caused by a completely like unhealthy mental health disorder as well. So really trying to just make sure that you're staying balanced, that you're taking care of yourself and keeping an open mind, because that journey could look like anything. And even my journey could have looked a lot different. It could have been possible that my blood work came back different. And I needed like just a little bit of hormones or something get my cycle on. Or maybe Andrew's like samples would have come back different. And he would have needed some kind of treatments. And even from there, there's so many other options that people go through before maybe going into like full-blown IVF cycles. But it's all a personal choice and decision. And there, I can't emphasize enough, like there's no wrong decision.
I agree. For me personally, you know, the first time I got pregnant, I was 33. And the second time I was pregnant, I was 35, which is, you know, not, I mean, it's not that it's old, but, you know. And both times I got pregnant right away, you know, to my own.
That's awesome.
To my own surprise, to be honest. I remember the first time I got pregnant, and I realized, because I know my body so well, I realized, you know, a couple of weeks into the pregnancy that, you know, something was a little off. So I took a pregnancy test and I couldn't believe it. So I went and I got like another five, and I'm like, okay, they're all positive. This can't be, you know, I'm, you know, but both times I had the mindset, if it happened, we both had the mindset, if it happens, it happens. And if not, then it's not meant to be, you know, so I wasn't really stressing out about it. But I don't know if that would have, if I would have kept that mindset if it hadn't worked out for some time, you know?
So
do you feel that, so do you feel that like your mindset played a role in that as well? I mean, you kind of mentioned that a little bit, you know, frustration and so much pressure on yourself and this and that, you know, like meaning that when you focus on something too much to the point that it starts stressing you out.
Stresses you out, and then stress isn't good for reproductive health either. And I remember reading something online that said, when people tell you to not stress about getting pregnant when you're trying to get pregnant, you're like, it's the worst possible thing they could tell you, because of course you're going to be stressed. Like, I mean, it's all you're trying to achieve right now. And so it's totally normal to be invested in that way. I've talked to a lot of people who went on a much longer fertility journey than I have, and went through multiple infertility treatments. And it's always amazing to me how many emotions we felt in common, even though my journey was not theirs and not the same as theirs. The emotions of hope is a really big deal. And so when we're talking about mindset while trying to conceive, it can be really easy to like lose that hope that it's going to happen for you. And for me, I was really encouraged by very supportive close friends and family as I was going through my journey, that for me it was, if God has called you to be a mom, then you're going to be a mom. And I don't know when or how it's going to happen, but I know that it's decided in my life and that it will be my reality eventually in some way. And that kid that's meant to be in my arms and in my family is already decided and already known. And I don't know who that child is yet, but I have hope that I'm going to know them and that will be perfect for me. So having that hope, even when you're feeling depressed, sad, cry, you know, being able to have that big perspective really helped with mindset. And for me, that perspective applied to whether or not Andrew and I went through IVF treatments, infertility treatments, medications, or we decided to adopt. No matter what, that was decided for my future, and I was going to be a mom. And it was only unknown to me how that was going to take place. And so I think that's what really helped me with mindset, but that doesn't mean every day I felt happy.
Of course not. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's like, a journey. You have it's a journey. You have your ups and downs. But again, it just goes to show how important it is to have your close people to you, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whatever that might be, that you are able to open up and talk openly and freely about, you know, the struggle that you're going right in that moment.
Yeah, you know? That support system is huge, and that would also be one of my like main points. Anyone who's listening to the podcast that's trying to conceive and get pregnant, is reach out to someone, talk to someone about it. Like the only thing that makes this journey worse is going through it by yourself.
Yeah, because it could be very like isolating and very lonely journey if you don't reach out, or if you don't, you know, look for that community or that, you know, supportive system. To reach out.
Definitely. I was amazed by the amount of women. We're talking about hundreds of women who reached out to me after I shared just my journey and like my struggle and the emotions I went through with each cycle, even not having infertility issues, that they related to what I was experiencing, and they just felt like they were alone, or they didn't have anyone to talk to, or they didn't realize that other people were feeling the same way. Just so many comments that were, I have felt every single one of these things during my cycle this month, you know, and even trying to connect those women with other women who have had similar experiences. And this is true of everything in life, but finding people who have already been through it or who are going through it with you is so good for your mental and emotional health. Also, just helps you carry the burden. Like, you don't have to carry the weight of the emotions you're going through on your own. And knowing that other people have gone through this, that they've survived it, you know, even if their journey ends up ending different than yours did, a really amazing thing. And I've connected women who have gone through multiple infertility treatments over multiple years. They've reached out. I'm like, this is, you need to talk to this girl, because she's right there in it with you. Or girls who have experienced like miscarriage and loss, which is a whole nother, oh my goodness, thing of infertility on its own. That's just so overwhelming. But for those women to connect with each other as well, because no one understands your pain and your journey and your experience as well as someone who's also been through those same experiences. And so I think that's why my connection with my sister was really so important to me during that like 6 months to a year of trying to become pregnant, because she was in it for 9 months. Right. And she, same as me, didn't end up having to take like any infertility medications or anything, but just understood the same feelings, emotions I was going through, and was so reassuring to me. And really everything she said was true, even though I sat there and I was like, you don't know that. You can't say that I'm going to have a kid, because like, what if I can't, you know?
Yeah.
And she was right, kind of thing.
And sometimes I guess it's just enough also just to be able to open up and talk about it, not necessarily get an advice or get an opinion or whatever bad, but just be able to share your pain, your struggle, your fears, your whatever that might be, you know?
Yeah, I had good coworker friends as well who we were all going through the same journey at the same time. And so just having lunch and being like, how's it going? How are you feeling? Was so important, just to know that people care and that they're just checking in on you.
Right.
And you can learn so much from each other as you're going through it too. Things like even OPK kits and basal body temperature tracking. Those are things I knew nothing about or how to do. I didn't need to know. Yes. Like, no one was teaching me that. And so talking with people who had tried before and learning how to do those things was really, really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. So at the end, did you change anything in your like lifestyle in terms of workouts, nutrition? Or if so, what were some of the things that increased your chances of conceiving?
Everything I read, I did a ton of research. I love health and fitness anyway, so it was all good research and helpful for my knowledge base as a professional working in like a health education field. But the things that I read that I tried to implement were, one, making sure that you get enough healthy fats in your diet. And that's really easy with like avocados and nuts, you know,
it's
way to just like add in some healthy fats. In general, I felt like I was eating like enough fats. I never felt like I was restricting anything like that. So I did make sure that I was getting enough of that. I usually would just make my second or fourth snack of the day some like a handful of almonds or something.
Right.
So I could make sure I boosted it. Another thing was I stayed with basically my same workout regimen, with the exception of, and I'm going to say this one is not research based. It was just what I felt like I needed to do. There's no research that shows you need to back off on the intensity of your workouts during your luteal phase. That's the time after you ovulate until your next menstrual period. And it's the time when implantation of the zygote or the fertilized cell is going to happen. And what's happening is, on literally a cellular level, it's so small that they basically say in research that your workout isn't going to change that, you know, whether or not implantation happens isn't going to change whether or not you have an intense workout. But I just felt the need during that time to maybe not kill myself in my workouts. Given my workouts, I we're talking like sprinting, running, heavy lifting, jumping, like for a full hour. It was really intense. And I was doing that like 5 to 6 times a week. So when I say that I backed off on my luteal phase, I was still running 3+ miles, you know, five times a week. And it was just at a little bit slower pace, which we're talking like instead of 7 and 8 minute miles, I was running at like 9, 10 minute miles. And lifting wise, I was still lifting the same. And I maybe just went at like 80% of max effort when I was doing like my jumps and my rowing and stuff like that. So, I mean, I backed off, but I didn't stop. And I was definitely still being more active than many during that phase. I think it's just relative to yourself.
So right.
I only backed off on that because I felt like it would be good. One of the things I did try, just because there were so many girls that said like, oh, you should do this, was acupuncture. Same thing. I'm like, I disclaimer everything. There's not like specific research that will say that acupuncture will help you get pregnant or increase your odds of pregnancy at all. So in terms of research, not like based off of that, but there were just, so I'm going to say at least 10 girls who said like, oh, have you thought about trying acupuncture? Like, I tried it, I had a great experience. Either they got pregnant or they just reduced their stress levels a ton and they loved it. And I was kind of at the point where I'm like, well, if it helps, then I might as well try. And if it doesn't help, then I'm still curious about it. So might as well. And so I started in the middle of what would have been my like 11th cycle of trying. And I just went once a week. And I told the acupuncturist, I don't know if that's the right word to call them, the doctor, told her that I wanted to get pregnant, that I was specifically coming because I wanted to get pregnant. I wasn't referred to my acupuncturist or anything. It was just like a copay for my insurance. And so she knew why I was there. And I went once a week. And the first 2 weeks were during my luteal phase of that cycle. And I wasn't pregnant that cycle. And then I went once a week for my final cycle as well, which was just the next 4 weeks. And that was the cycle that I got pregnant. And I don't know if, like, I'm not going to say, oh, that's the thing, you know, it just happened to be one of the changes and new things I tried for that month. But I would say acupuncture was freaking awesome. Even if it didn't work, I would definitely go. It was it was so relaxing, just laying down for an hour with like some soft music and some heat lamps and just relax. I could fall asleep. It's like best nap time ever, is how I described it with a friend, Sarah. And I would recommend it even if you didn't want to get pregnant, you know, like acupuncture was so good. It was so relaxing and calming and even helps with reducing stress levels. So maybe that was part of it, as well as reducing my stress levels could help me like increase my chances of like implantation conception actually occurring. So who knows, it could have been a few different things with that, but I really did enjoy that process. And if you have an acupuncturist where it's not a good experience, and I would just recommend going to a different one if you still want to try it, because maybe they just aren't doing what you are thinking. And acupuncture doesn't have to be used for fertility. I mean, they'll put them like on your ovaries and around your uterus to increase blood flow circulation if you're trying to get pregnant, but they'll put them like on your back if you have back pain or wherever, or headaches or something, if you had their issues. So it's not like if you go to acupuncture you'll get pregnant.
They you know, it could be used for many different reasons. I know that everyone's journey is different, so I just have, and I know that you're super busy, so one last question from your own experience: what is the one thing you would advise somebody that is having difficult journey to conceiving, if I can call it that?
I would say listen to your heart and do what you feel you need to do. So some people don't want to talk to an infertility specialist at all. It's just not what they want to do. And that's totally okay. And you don't have to do that. And then at the same time, others, it's like, I've only been trying for 3 months. Is it too early to get my blood work checked or my hormone levels? or is it too early to have like my husband's sperm count checked and things like that. And if you feel like you've only been trying for 3 months, but you want to have those things checked out, then you should have them checked out. It will give you peace of mind. And it also will help you feel like you maybe have a little more control over a process that we really don't have any control over. Mm. So it can make you feel like you have, it gives you a little bit of your power back. And only you know when the right time is for that. So they always say, oh, wait 6 months to a year before you go talk to an infertility specialist or something. I think the right time to do that is when you feel that it's the right time to do that. And for some people, that could be over a year that they're like, I'm just not ready to take that step yet. And right. That is fine. And at the same time, you have to take the step that is right for you. So If it's an infertility specialist, awesome. If it's a general practitioner who you want to start like fertility medications, awesome. If you don't want to go through, like, I mean, infertility IVF treatments are hard from everything yes. I've heard from people who have gone through them. They're emotionally and physically exhausting. And like, then you don't have guaranteed success. And exactly. then maybe for you, the right step is like, I know I still want to have a family and have kids, and we're going to start looking into adoption, even though we're still trying or something. And so do what you feel is right in your journey when it's time for you. And when you feel that time has come, and then find a support group, which I know we already kind of talked about earlier, but right. please, whether it's just one person, like your mom or mm-hmm. a sister, or maybe family isn't the right person for you. Maybe it's a friend, or maybe mm-hmm. it's just someone online in your online Instagram community that you've reached out to and that you've just want to share with them. Hey, this is what I'm going through right now. Even if they haven't gone through it, it will help with your mental health so much. And it will help you know that you are not alone in your experience, and that other people have walked this road before you, and they have beautiful families that have come about in whatever way that they've come about. But those families are meant to be, and that your family is out there for you too. And okay. if you want that, then you have options and you aren't alone.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, we already said that. I think that's so powerful, because then, you know, being alone in a difficult moment and having the feeling that you don't have anybody to talk to, it yeah. can make the whole process even, you know, much more difficult. So
yeah.
So support system and community is huge.
Yes, most definitely. Those are my biggest things. And that's what I would have wanted to know when I started my journey too.
Elise, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience. I know that it's a very difficult subject and something that, you know, a lot of us women are struggling with. So I very much appreciate you sharing your experience, and hopefully, you know, today's talk can inspire and help many women out there, you know, just knowing that they're not alone, and knowing that there are also other women going through a similar experience and reaching out and so on. So very much appreciate your time and sharing your experience.
And thank you so much. I have loved chatting with you, and I look forward to just talking with all the other women who are on this journey, like with me, with us, with everyone who's out there that we've had to go through it. And I appreciate you giving me the time and asking me just really good questions.
Oh, thank you. And I'm excited to, you know, continue following your journey, and it's a very exciting journey. So it reminds me of when I was pregnant, mm-hmm. which wasn't that long ago. You know, my kids are 5 right. and 7, but still it seems very far away.
It's gonna fly by.
To our audience, thanks so much for listening, and to be part of Elise's pregnancy journey, make sure you follow her on Instagram at Elise Lee Feet. And not only for the pregnancy journey, but also for a lot of health and fitness and nutrition inspiration, and just also motivational inspiration. I love your positive spirit and always motivating and keeping it real. I absolutely love that part. So make sure you follow her on Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening and for being here. It truly means the world to me. I would love to connect with as many of you as possible. So let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at Slowolution for your daily dose of healthy living inspiration. If you feel inspired by this episode and want to learn more about all things health, well-being, and motherhood, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. This way, the podcast can reach and inspire even more moms and moms-to-be. And make sure you stay tuned for the many upcoming exciting episodes. Wish you all a lovely week.